Blog Talk Radio.
Aslan, tu havotet nisman, mahvetam o shodam tu, fikre yeki diye, man poye qadam hotam tu.
The emotions that just pull at you and beautiful poetry. So I just want to let you know a little bit about ourselves. This group is Late Night Poets. We are a group on allpoetry.com. Go check us out at allpoetry.com. It's free to join. The group's a contest and groups and everything you can participate in. And to let you know, the members of this group have all donated their poetry to be collected in books, and you can find us on Amazon. opojuice.com, and it's under Late Night Poets Anthology Books. Please go check us out. They're thick and they're beautiful, and where can you get a collection around the world? So please check us out. They are affordable. So I'm going to start picking up our callers this evening. We are going to be running a little bit of a tight ship. We're going to be doing 3 comments per poem because we want some comments out there. You can write your comments at a later time or as we're going through this. And let's get started. So I'm going to start picking up callers. Here we go. Caller 111, who am I speaking with? Weaver, are you there?
Oh, hello, sorry. Hello. Was that me? I never had a number before.
Well, I mean, there's no number there, so I, you know, you go, you call out the first 3 numbers, and I go, ugh.
That was classic.
If I say 111 again, you know, because that's usually the phone calls that we get from overseas. But surprise.
Oh, you threw me again, you little devil, you. Yes, I hear. Hello.
Well, welcome, Katie. And we have another caller, 585. Who are we speaking with?
This is Lord. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, it's the man with the rich, silky voice. Laurent, I miss you.
Here I am, ma'am.
Thank you for calling, and how are you doing, Laurent?
Couldn't be better.
I'm glad to have you. Let's pick up some more callers and get this show started. Caller 778, who are we speaking with? And hold on, got to press the button. Okay, button press, 778.
Hi, Lulu. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Lauren.
Hey,
and this is Gray Eyes Smith. Welcome to the show, Gray Eyes. And we have another caller.
Hello.
512, who am I?
Hello.
Hi, Frank. There we go. We are fully staffed tonight.
When you said 111, I thought you said 911 for a second there.
No emergency yet.
Okay, there we go.
Anyway, if I need resuscitation, any one of you happy, handsome poets could always give me a breath of life. Okay.
Please.
No problem. Come resuscitate me.
Well,
okay.
We'll see after the poetry.
There we go. Yes. So, Katie, we are ready to lock and load.
Okay, my dear. First one up, we have Rolling Fields by Darkened Auras. And there's no sound clouds, no. Right, so I'll read this one, shall I? Why not? Get this started.
Okay.
Rolling Fields, Darkened Aura. Lovely picture. The wind dances across rolling fields of green, lightly dusted and rustled, like a mother's fingers through her darling boy's hair. Clouds gather like a hand over the valley, outstretched palm casting a shadow, pinpointing where rain will soon cascade, obeying the puppet master. End poem.
Oh, that was such a beautiful read, Katie. Thank you. And lovely congratulations, Darkened Auras, in your front page pick. What did you think about this beautiful poem that Katie read, Laurent?
I liked it quite a bit. It was a nice read, too. I like the metaphor of the hand, the mother's fingers through her darling boy's hair, the hand shown by the clouds gathering over the valley. I like her language. And the last line, obeying the puppet master, is always very interesting. It can take the mind places. Excellent.
I agree, and it's such a beautiful piece to this beautiful picture. Thank you, Laurent. And Gray, what did you think of Darkened Auras poem?
Well, I thought Weaver did a fantastic read on the poem, but the poem is delightful. I mean, it's inspirational, and it's declaration of the beauty of this picture. I mean, it just captures the essence of the picture quite wonderfully. So, fantastic job, Darkenhurst.
Thank you. Thank you, Gray. And the next poet to comment is our very own Frank, our other co-host.
Yes, I have to say that this was, although this is a brief poem, it really touches on the relationship between a mother and a son, the devotion there and fondness there. I just thought it was so, I have not seen the prompt, but just the visuals of this poem was enough to make me just contemplate. I thought it was just a fantastic write overall and a fantastic read there, Weaver.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And thank you, Weaver, for reading. And would you please add in our next poem?
I certainly will. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is Petals from the Sky by Kiku. Would you like to read this, Liu?
Yes, it would be my privilege. And this is titled Petals from the Sky by Kiku. I held my breath when it rained. How you pulled me under your umbrella. Your left shoulder drenched as we walked. Perhaps to give succor. The lamplight imparts warm touches that I may paint red chrysanthemums while the sky's pen continues writing. Might petals fall someday, the percticor, drops that once kissed mirrored moons, rippled echoes of an unforgettable poem. Oh, this was just gorgeous, Kiku. Congratulations. Your poem on nature, it was just gorgeous. I could just see the imagery. And, you know, especially with that first one where she says, and I held my breath. You know, just something about nature can make us stop breathing as we enjoy it and surrounds us. And then, you know, to have that person that you love pull you under that umbrella as you walk shoulder to shoulder, drenching as you walk. And, you know, I just thought it was just beautiful. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I am a sucker for the rain clouds and the umbrellas. I even collect
mm-hmm.
umbrellas. That's how weird I am. But there's nothing lovelier than walking with someone under an umbrella. It just puts you in your own little world, and everything else around you doesn't really matter so much. Although your left shoulder getting drenched is not so good. But I thought it was absolutely lovely. The last stanza, so sweet. Might petals fall someday. The petrichor drops that once kissed mirrored moons, rippled echoes of an unforgettable poem. Just lovely. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And our next poet to comment is our Laurent again. Laurent?
I'm sorry. I was coughing.
That's okay.
I agree with all the comments on this. So far, I was especially entranced with that line, the petrichor drops that once kissed mirrored moons. It is simply a beautiful line. Very brief, very beautiful, very visual. I liked it.
Agreed. Thank you. And now we are ready for our next poem. I can't wait.
Our next poem is Rebuilding Hope by Maeve Edmondson. And Gray, could you read this one, please?
Sure. Rebuilding Hope by Maeve Edmondson. My world crashing down, screaming with no sound, fettled, encroached, no love pouring out, compulsively worried, my life was hurried. But that's not me anymore. Broken and rebuilt, put back together differently, no thought of guilt, no more crouching. Learning to stand tall with the right support. My back's not against the wall. I'm not broken. Nothing with me. Nothing wrong with me. I tried too hard with my reality. Life spun by. Couldn't catch my breath. Was on the verge. So close to death. Hanging by a thread. I chose to fight. To hold on to more than just a string in sight. Growing stronger with each day. Learning to retrain my brain. Not an easy task. Sometimes I still ask, what's wrong with me? Will I ever see things clearly? The girl inside is still scared. Sometimes she feels I'm the only one who cares, but she'll be okay. I know she will. She lived through hell and survived still. She learned a hard lesson. One thing's for sure, life cannot be hurried. Wait for open doors. Growing into a woman, not paying for anyone's hell, she's learning her value all too well. Doesn't waste her time on any more cries. What's meant to be will always find a way. Don't rush life. Just let it stay. End poem.
That was a good read, Gray. Thank you so much. And I really love this personal poem by Mav. And also congratulations on your book, huge pick. And now we're going to pick up some comments. Gray, you are next to comment. And I know you read, but it is your turn to comment.
You know, I thought it was uplifting. You know, she has the strength and courage to fight through the living hell that she's had to endure. And she comes out better in the end for that. So just a beautiful poem on keeping your chin up.
Agreed. And I just want to let you know that our Bobby will not be able to call in and spend time with us today. She's not feeling good, so we're going to send her some kisses. Besitos.
Yeah.
And I hope that you feel better, Bobby. Rest up. We'll miss you. Okay, our next poet to comment is Frank.
Yes, I thought the poem, I agree with what's been said here, particularly by Gray. This is a romantic piece here, but it also talks about life struggles and how we have to endure. I like the positivity of the message here being evoked here. I think this poem really depicts all of us in one stage of our life. You know, we go through hell. Sometimes we need to uplift our own selves and find our own motivation. But it was a fantastic reading poem.
Great. You know, what I like home is that, you know, we all go through different troubles and we all need to find a way to find peace within ourselves and find peace within our minds. And, you know, I thought that she caught that so well with this quote. She wrote to this quote by St. Francis that says, never be in a hurry, do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset. You know, and that is so difficult to do, to find a way out of the issues and problems that we're going through. And, you know, sometimes people do put us through hell and, you know, we do suffer and we cry and we think about it. But, you know, when we find a way that we start realizing who we are and what we believe in and we look for peace within ourselves, it, you know, there's always help. And I found that poetry is very cathartic and it allows me to express myself and give myself peace and talk about things that are bothering me and get it off my chest. And I thought that she did this beautifully. Again, congratulations, Mav. And now we are ready for our next poem, Weaver.
Yes, and the next one's up there, The Psychonaut by Brendan Hall. And Frank, could you read this, please?
Yes, just bear with me here. My phone is somewhat slow here, so...
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? It's not what I don't want to read, of course. I'm just... since we have so many poems, perhaps it's best that I just comment on the poems tonight. Well, actually, no, I can read this one here, but I'm saying that my phone might be too slow at times, so I'll go ahead and give this one a read here. It's called The Psychonaut, and it goes like this, and it's by Brendan Hall, and it goes like this. Pupils dead and dilated, gaze adrift in the clouds. The paradigm has shifted, silence echoes and compounds. Vision is no more, shapes collide and fragment, dissolved into the realm, a black sheen of the immaculate. Apparitions of the present meld with the past, speeding towards a wall, but numb to the crash. Absorbed and floating in color, painting the halls of a mind, discovered the end of the rainbow, a vast spectrum redefined, vibrations through a portal connecting to divine, fractals shift and expand, watch them join them, divide, spectral shapes in the dark, mixing in with the tides, drifting through the heart of the cosmos, reality and illusion and contrived, in the poem.
Oh, you did such a great read of Brendan's poem. Frank, thank you so much. So let's get some comments. Katie, what did you think about Brendan's poem?
Oh, this is very, very deep. I love the imagery. It's quite spectacular and beautiful picture to work on. So you can see pupils dead and dilated, gates adrift in the clouds. Oh, yes. Obviously, this is somebody who has been having great fun and experimenting. And so things are completely different to them. So it must be an amazing feeling, I imagine. But I don't think I'd ever want to try. Thank you very much. But yes, I thought that was very deep. No, I never have. I've never tried anything. And I was around in the swinging 60s.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Oh, no, popular. I think every... Yes, very popular. But so, yes, I thought that was absolutely... It gives me such an insight.
Are you telling me you weren't a love child, Weaver?
Oh, I was a love child. I just wasn't a stone child.
Well, that's quite a difference there.
Oh, yes. I was aware of everything that was going on.
Yeah, I'm not a... I mean, I've been on morphine in the hospital, and I saw black snakes and spiders everywhere. I just don't understand. You know, one of the things is with drugs is, you know, those kids when they were taken to the doctor screaming and crying to take their soul shot, you know, and then I just have a fear of not somebody doing something to me while I'm high. So that's always kind of like, no, thank you. You can do it.
Yes, that was me, exactly.
You know, yeah. You know,
oh, thank you.
You know, I have no problem with drinking or medicinal, medicinal good stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to watch 1960 sci-fi.
Yeah.
Not advertising it.
No.
We should stick to the vitamins for this night.
Yeah, wine. Yeah, and you know, and he's talking about that this psychonaut is a term for people that use psychedelic drugs to reach altered staged forms of consciousness. And you know, he says the poem will probably make zero sense to you unless you've tripped on psychedelic drugs, which, you know, he's right, but he did it so well. It's so it reminded me of a Pink Floyd type of lyrics, and I enjoyed it, you know, but there's just something about dead pupils that aren't dilated that, you know, I guess working in a hospital, kind of like a no thank you. But it is an awesome poem. What did you think, Laurent?
I liked this poem quite a bit. The experimentation, the deliberate experimentation to reach that altered state of consciousness, as the AN notes, comes at a very timely fashion. They've recently discovered that the use of psychedelic drugs, peyote, things of the other nature, can actually help people with mental disease. So,
yes,
you know, there's a reason why this stuff exists in nature. Everything has a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the poet interpreted that extremely well.
I agree. And it has been used during tribal things for them to travel. And so, yeah, it is used in some societies, but it's for spiritual use.
Great respect.
Yes. Okay. Weaver, we are ready. And you are on it.
I am, my dear. I'm on it. I'm way beyond it. We have The Darkest Fog by J.E.G.G.2Fed. And, Laurent, would you read this, please?
Certainly. Let me find it. All right. The Darkest Fog. Silver spirits waver through time's darkest fog, mumble forgotten names. None are mine. Stark remembrances play on huge screens, dark pictures spinning, block all sunshine. Standing on Titanic's deck, final end call, my fate about to meet whirling maelstrom as I plummet towards nether regions below. I hear a somber pounding of a military drum. Instead of cold water, I embrace thick mist, tasting salty drops on my shadow's tongue as old ghosts dance amid dissipating sheet. Daybreak is a ladder climbed rung by rung. End poem.
Oh, you did such a fabulous, fabulous job in reading this, Laurent. I do so much enjoy listening to you read. And so now we're going to get some comments on JEG Foam. Congratulations on your front page pick. And our next poet to comment is Gray.
Excellent read, Laurent. And I like the poem. You know, it speaks to the truth about fog and how haunting it is. Totally engaging right throughout. Beautiful read.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, this was just so creepy. Nothing worse than being on the water surrounded by fog. It's quite a, really, it's quite a scary experience because you don't know what's out there. You know, every little ripple that knocks against the side of your craft, you think, what's that? But it depends on where you are in the world, of course. You know, we don't get much of things like whales and things in Scotland. We're quite safe. But yes, I think this is so, it just gives me that picture of what it must feel like. And I thought it was beautifully written. And I'm not surprised it got front page picked because it was wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Agreed. And what did you think of the poem, Frank?
Yes, I agree. This was a fantastic write. I thought it had a dark feeling to it and made me think of Moby Dick to a certain extent here. Although that's not really a dark story there, but it did have some moments there. But I just thought overall the piece really captured the essence of the prop well, and it was a fantastic read as well.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And Katie, we're ready for the next drop.
Okay, my dear. Here we are. The Fragrance of Roses by S.V. Matheson. And I think I will read this one.
Okay.
Give me a moment. Okay. Oh, beautiful picture.
Oh, yeah. So,
is that lovely? Okay. At the edge of the ocean, at the entrance to the sea, a maiden fair waits for me. In the cold mists of a frosty morn, she rises from the waves and takes form. She drifts on the shore with the tide to take her place by my side. The fragrance of roses fills me as we embrace lovers from a different time and a different place. Love has found me through centuries apart. She captured my spirit, then my heart. End poem.
I thought that you did such a great job in reading Stephen's poem. This is just absolutely beautiful. I love the heartfelt imagery throughout this. The rhyme scheme is just a beautiful poem of, you know, that mysticism of, you know, long waiting so long for the person you love to arrive, and that, you know, they just capture your spirit, and it didn't matter how long that they're apart, that he's waiting for her. This is just absolutely beautiful. So that they could have, this was pretty. The fragrance of roses fills me as we embrace lovers from a different time and a different place. Oh, this is just gorgeous, captivating. What did you think about the poem, Katie? I know you read it, but it's your turn to comment.
Oh, yes. This, again, a beautiful piece of poetry to read. It entranced me. I thought it was ethereal. You see that figure, somebody he's lost and waited for her, and there she is. I just thought that was absolutely, it was just so hauntingly beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Agreed. And Laurent, what did you think of this beautiful poem?
You know, for centuries, poems rhymed. And if you've read poetry at all, you got to kind of like a rhyming poem. And I like this one a lot. The storyline of the long wait for love to arrive, told, as you said, in a mystical fashion, is always interesting. And I can see why this one has 69 likes. because it's very evocative of a daydream or two we have all had while waiting for love to arrive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you for your wonderful comments, and we are ready for our next poem.
And here we have Where 100 White Asters Gather by Sandra Lee. And Liu, would you like to read this, please?
Yes, it'd be my pleasure. Where 100 White Asters Gather by Sandra Lee. And also congratulations on your front page pick. The hour of your thunder comes crashing upon me. Among cheering throats of Avs at the edge of Orion's forest, near the Capronia Sea of Aquarius. And there you are, fanning me with atmospheric inspiration from blazing red robes of Mercury, contrasting against the spectacular rising of sculpted moon. Never vainglorious are you, nor your flames or pathos, giving me a dream to dream in the beating affection of our affair. The photo shape of my face is smeared with universe and your memory, wilderness, in poem. Oh, no, excuse me, it's longer. Sorry. Above the logic of my eyes, the mountains of Antarium, genuflecting onto birds, onto closing lids of sunspots, onto every nova and god I've burned out and to you. We taste the aggregate fruit of literature, reading tea leaves with vine and sky, in your Molotov cocktail exploding my creativity. Your Michaelmas massaging my largest organ, my expressive skin. The profundity of your touch invokes my inner movement. In its natural phenomenon writing for you, it's the romantic of a highest degree. It's the old picture window of my anthologies, your reflection before me. I adore the candlelight somewhere in time frame, in the making and dramatics of your love beyond the pain. From noctulent Virga to praying mantis upon knotted knuckle of my hands, dorsal surface enfolded at the guilty pleasures of depressing lips, my beloved poetry. The earthen garden of your astral bedding arouses our insensuous grasses of my inkwell, blotting sweet chirography beneath this open-air gazebo where I breathe slow the skies Da Vinci and you in poem. Oh, my goodness, that was just beautiful, Sandra, and congrats on your front page pick. And, Gray, what did you think?
Well, you did a beautiful read on it, Leah. But the poem is beautiful. It's engaging, and it's, you know, dear. You know, you can feel the love in the lines, and you can picture this scene with the gazebo in the garden and her breathing in the slow skies of Da Vinci and you. So just a beautiful poem, very touching.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
I thought it was breathless. First of all, it was a great read, I agree there. I thought the poem was it was like a Victorian type of poem there, almost sort of Bronte for a moment there. It had beautiful elements of romance connected with nature, with the very asters there. And as a person who loves flowers, asters are one of my favorites as well. I could certainly relate to this poem. It really was endearing from beginning to end. So that was fantastic.
Agreed. Thank you. Beautiful comment, Frank. And Katie, what did you think of this beautiful poem?
Oh, that's the word for it, beautiful. It's just so, it's profound, it's full of imagery. And I love flowers anyway, so it's quids in for me. But I thought it was beautifully written. I particular favorite, I adore the candlelit somewhere in time frame and the makings and dramatics of your love beyond the pains. That's just lovely. And she has a glossary as well telling you what you need to know about words that you might not have seen before, which I think is very clever and very kind, because you get so much more from what you're reading if you understand what you're reading. So I thought it was lovely. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And we're ready for another call. Katie.
Yes,
thank you,
no
Sandra.
Problem. Here we have Amethyst Thoughts by Armando. And Gray, could you read this, please?
Sure. Amethyst Thoughts by A. Armando. Thoughts hidden in amethyst deep, with paws of crystal, jagged teeth, outer skin which none shall pass, save patrons armed with drilling lance, intent to pry her glamour in pursuit of dread, amour, and poem.
Thank you, Gray. You did a fabulous read of R. M. Mundell's poem. It just popped up on my screen, so I'm going to let some people comment so I can make a comment. Laurent, what did you think of her poem?
Amethyst Thoughts? I thought it was very cleverly written. Save patrons armed with drilling lance. One immediately thinks of a jeweler taking the amethyst, intending to pry her glamour in pursuit of dread amour, which I think is love is represented in some way, I'm assuming, by amethyst. Mm-hmm. That outer skin which none shall pass. It's very cleverly done.
Yeah, I just had to go look to see what image she wrote to. And she wrote to something called a lithoid, an early vizu of the lithoid species pack. And it's just, you know, that outer, I don't know if any of you all are into minerals and crystals and stuff. I just love them. Amethyst is one of my favorites. That hard shell that's on the outside, and when you drill it open, you know, the shape of the crystals and the color just leaves you breathless. And it is, you know, like I agree with Laurent. It was like a jeweler had, you know, you could see the jeweler drilling in to expose the hidden beauty. I really enjoyed this poem. And Gray, I know you read it, but what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it had a subtle beauty to it. I mean, you can picture this amethyst stone with paws of crystal and jagged teeth. You know, I didn't check out the picture, but I think you probably captured it quite beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I see the picture. But yeah, it's definitely a beautiful write, and I liked it a lot.
Me too. I agree. And thank you, Laurent, and thank you for that great read, and we are on...
Okay, the next one is Lies Within My Smile, by Skunk Woman. And Ruyu, would you like to read this one, please?
Okay. Hold on a second. My page went all the way bottom of the reading list. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. I hope it loads up. It did. Okay. Lies Within My Smile by Skunk Woman. No rest for the wicked. Consider me straight out of Salem. Never shut my eyes last night. Morning came too soon. 9-hour shift to start. Looks like speeders will be my diet for today. Got sidetracked with writing as the clock never paused. No time to shower, so a quick monkey bath will have to do. Hair unkempt, left over from yesterday. No makeup on my freckled face and not a piece of jewelry. Quite out of character for me, as I always dress to impress. But with age and lack of sleep, I really don't give a fuck what people might think about me as they walk into my store. Held high, acting confident, fools them every time. Happy chipper, bubbly. Marie, Mara is what everyone expects. But damn, all this positivity is exhausting. I need a break being myself. In moments of emotional anguish, I'll never let it show. Can't let them see my weakness. They can see into my soul. I'd die if they could read my thoughts. What a tangled web of insanity. Or to think I'm anything other than spectacular. They've grown accustomed to my smile. Well, damn it, I'm only human and stricken with intense emotional pain. Let them call me weak and sensitive. As long as I don't have to lie, smile at any time of day. End poem. Well, that was a really powerful poem by Skunk Woman. And we're going to get some fabulous comments on this poem. What did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, that was one hell of a read there. I thought the poem really just had really an admission here of what, you know, struggles of life or what you go through, you know. You know, when you wake up until you sleep, you deal with issues. And she confronts them just with a sense of realization of what and what others think of her, you know. And I find that really remarkable that she can, you know, relate all of these, you know, words she sticks in here to relate to us, you know, what she's experiencing, what she's going through. And I find that remarkable because as humans, I often find the one thing that I find admirable is the way we can relate to each other.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Excellent comment, Frank. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, I liked this one. I liked it. This is mm-hmm. what's going on in people's minds so many percentage of the time. Everybody looks confident and healthy. They're walking about with their head held high, and they're really not feeling that wonderful. But because there is no such thing as mind reading, we all just have to go with the body language that we see in front of us, and that's what they give us. If you're down, you act tough. I liked it. And the one I loved about the fact that they could hear what was going on in our head. Oh, can you imagine? If anybody could read your mind, that would be so scary. But yes, I thought it was beautifully written, and it was out there, and I liked it a lot. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I like the raw emotions in here. For me, it doesn't matter. I got to put on my war paint. I got to get on some red lipstick. And no matter what's going out there, if I got my red lipstick on, I am fired up and ready to go. And Laura, what did you think?
There's times when we're put into situations where we may not yeah. feel up to snuff, but because of the circumstances, we have to pretend. And, you know, we're going to pretend to a yes. degree. We may not look as good as we normally do. We may not have taken careful attention to present ourselves the best. But, you know, damn it. At this point in life, you don't give a fuck, which I like. and as long as I don't have to lie with my fake smile at any time today, it is the curse of the retail worker to have to smile cheerily all day long. And I think that frustration was presented very well here.
Well, you know, got to do what you got to do, right?
You don't want to.
You know, and I mean, how many of us have not been in that position, right? I think all of us have. That's why
yes,
we're poets.
All of us.
That's why I changed my name.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Katie, what do we got next?
Next we have Raindrum by E.G. Cool. And, Frank, could you read this, please?
Oh, did you ask me? I'm not sure if I heard you.
Yes,
right.
I'm sorry. I'm losing
all right.
my voice.
All right. Let's just, all right. I do apologize. It's called Raindrum, and it's by E.G. Cool, and it goes like this. Coquettish autumn rain, torpid. Globals of conversation purified, fingertips patter my concave chest, overstimulated nerves lick sleep, burrow veils breathe in emerald northern lights, and breathe out hydrochloride. Letting thoughts to be whisked away, inside tears only colorless, skies leap. These dumping doldrums of comforting, intimate, familiar dreams of home, sojourn solace suspended in utero by rose-hued vivarium, mistling torrential spell cast, crisp spate upon cold November, evening gloom, hot beat, skin shiver, falls precipitate, percussionists of earth's bath, drum. Hideous rope web splinter in pulses from hushed thunderstone, berserses, Morse code flicker through one quartz flecked window, tells me that I'm not alone. Threads of clouded memories weave together, spirit water diffuses, submerged gravitation drags me by the core to a new drenched depth unknown. End of poem. Well, that was,
wow.
That was a little bit complicated there. My eyes were wandering.
Yeah,
there.
But you read it so well. You know, her language and vocabulary is just excellent, and it's naturally personified throughout her poem, you know, where she's talking about nature and fall and autumn, and I really loved her imagery where she starts off rain drum, coquettish autumn rain, torpid globules, the condensation purified, fingertip patter, my conclave chest, overstimulated nerves, lack sleep. You know, I literally could see this. You know, somebody that's just so exhausted, and you're in this autumn rain, and the rain is just, you're going through the motions, and it's just hitting you. No, I'm sorry. It's my cat trying to get on my keyboard, and the last time he did that, he flipped my screen upside down, and I had to have somebody come fix it, and I don't even know what buttons he pushed. Down, bad cat. Okay. So I really love this poem. What what did you think, Gray?
You know, it's definitely deeply emotional. You can feel the emotions in the right. The sense of peril and loneliness is palpable. Like where she says, heliotrope web splinter and pulses from hushed thunderstorm produces Morse code flicker through one quartz flecked window tells me that I'm alone, not alone, you know. And I think we all kind of hover in these vast wastelands of mind and space at that time and can get caught up in that. So excellent, right? Great read.
Thank you, Gray. And Frank, you did that fabulous read, and I would like to know what you thought of EJ's poem.
Well, I'm not sure I can do better than what Gray said. His poem is impeccable there. But I'll give it a start here really quick. I do agree, her language is just admirable in itself. It did give me that sense of, you know, being in the doldrums. It had a surrealistic type of feel to this poem, which most of the time she does write in that report. But I really like the notion there, the sort of part of memories weave together. But altogether, was just a fantastic writer. It was very, very deep, very profound, very philosophical as well to me, and a bit mournful.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Katie, what did you think?
Oh yes, beautiful. There's nothing nicer than the sound of rain. Bits of pattering. It's very soothing, and I think it might have helped here in this poem, because she seems to get to the point at the end where she's a little bit more in calm and not feeling quite so thundery. But I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was so much imagery in it, and I could hear the rain. It was sad, I think, but it was beautifully written.
Agreed. Thank you, everybody. And now we're ready for our next poem.
And the next poem is Spoken Love by Olcan Murphy. I love that handle. Hey. Olcan Murphy. So cool.
Yeah.
You can see him with it.
You got
to
call me.
Great. Yeah. like, so, Laurent, would you be so kind as to read Earl Cal Murphy's poem, please?
How could I possibly refuse? Spoken love. Ah, the spoken word, suspect, possibly showing how your love imbues lip-reading from across the room. Was that I love you or elephant shoes? Your immutable love, my great truth, much greater than any utterance. Hush, my darling, we continue in time our magical dance. With you, my world instantly elevated to your lofty, joyful plane. Your mild sun, reassuring breeze, your soft and delicate rain. Without you, my world turns not, an abrupt, harrowing fall from axis, falling back to positive mantras, aerobic endorphins, and trips to the therapist. Your love lifts me whole, striving to be all I can be. My evolved tale, now a memory, and my mind wagging quite merrily. Our crazy racing world surrounding our feelings of love so true, important still, and much love for the soft-spoken I love you. End quote.
You did such a beautiful read of this poem, Laurent. Thank you so much. And Murphy, I really got to say, I loved your love poem. And congratulations on your front page pick. And let's get some comments. I know you read the poem, Laurent, but it is your turn to comment.
Of course it is. Spoken love. You know, too many people will go through a relationship hardly ever, you know, uttering, I love you. It's almost like they take it for granted. And you just hear it less and less as time goes by. However, the love is the great truth, his great truth, much greater than any utterance. So spoken love is important, but the presence, having a partner like that, with you, my world instantly elevated mm-hmm. to your lofty, joyful plane. When one of the two is in that kind of a mood, then it's very attractive. It's almost magnetic. It's quite a
mm-hmm. Great. Beautiful comment, Laurent. And I'd like to know what you think, Gray. Did you get an eye of you or elephant shoes?
It was elephant shoes.
Elephant shoes.
And I liked it. You know, it's heartfelt. It's endearing. It's charming. It has its humor, and it flowed wonderfully. Your love lifts me whole, striving to be all I can be. My evolved tale, now a memory in my mind, wagging quite merrily. I mean, you know, that's just excellent writing there. Beautiful job.
So, is your tail wagging, Gray?
It is, yes.
And Frank, I would like to know what you thought of this love poem.
Well, you know, well, certainly I didn't get the elephant shoes there, but I did get certain some of these I love you, but I don't know if I still have those there. But I thought the poem was, it had a bit of wit, you know, but I like the essence of it all, the romance, you know, and what it represents, you know, the whole notion of love and what it represents when you're with that person. It can just make you explore every type of sentiment and experience as well. And so I like that about the aerobic endorphins and trips to the therapist. I mean, it's just very witty, very creative. I know my tail doesn't wag much lately, but when it does, it wags for good.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
So we are back to Katie.
Okie dokie. We have A Way to Seek Peace of Mind by Obelix. And, la 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 la. Frank, no? Hang on. I'll read this because I haven't read for a while. Can't keep just sitting here doing nothing.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for not doing anything.
Sorry?
I apologize. I thought you were mentioning me. I thought you were saying I'm sorry. I didn't really understand that, but go ahead.
Hello. I wouldn't talk about you when you can hear me.
Oh, yeah. Man. What a wild group. I love you guys.
I have to apologize because I do have a bit of a cold and I'm finding it hard not to cough in your ear holes. So please bear with me. I'm sounding rougher than I normally do. Okay. Thank you. Okay. A way to seek peace of mind. The multitude of stars like snow dots queened by the moon, along with the crowds of clouds line the skies, charcoaled by night. The blithe breeze bestows mirth on the trees to sway their branches, enchiming the leaves. Massive fireflies, like tiny glowing orbs, in jade decorate the countless blades of grass. Like a phantom, I've stolen to this glade to be with solitude, away from the trouble that strides within the walls of home. The peace the climate offers in this open air, in this outdoor world, to save my heart from further suffocation. To take flight away from her whose tongue, like the wailing wind in winter, fills freezing fright in my head. So I stand still, alone in silence, drinking in relief from the moon's kind glow, away from the toxic nagger who shares the roof with me. End poem.
Oh my God. You know, you did such a wonderful job in reading this poem. You know, when we have somebody that just constantly kicks at you like a chicken trying to find worms, you know, eventually the picking becomes annoying and then it starts to hurt. And then all you want to do is just, as for me, when I'm nagged, I just want to run away, take flight. I want to be like those bumblebees flying in the faded grass. And I want to go outside and just that sense of being able to breathe, that sense of freedom to just like, you know, and to take a drink and relax and to be surrounded by the sound of nature's poetry, to just flow into that. I know how this feels. And, you know, sometimes we may feel as if we're alone, but we're not. We're surrounded, you know, by the beauty of nature, and we're under her roof where we find solace and the energy to keep going. And I just found this so beautiful and so sad at the same time. Massive fireflies like a tiny glowing orb in jade decorate the countless blades of grass. Is, you know, to me at this time, it's when you focus and you're not listening to those thoughts in your head or what somebody's telling you, but you get absorbed into nature and you start seeing the things of beauty and it becomes a place of solace. I thought this is a wonderful poem by Obanex, and I didn't see why he made the front page. So I love this poem and I enjoyed your read so very much. what did you think, Matt?
Well, when the nagging reaches a crescendo, when the home hearth can no longer provide warmth and comfort, you're going to find somewhere else to go. And in this case, you know, I've stolen to this glade to be with solitude, away from the trouble that thrives within the walls of home. And he brings in the suffocation and the fright and the need for silence from the moon's kind glow. Great piece. Really hit on something.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I know you read the poem, Katie, but it is your turn to comment.
No problem. I'm happy to. It would be my pleasure. Yes, I thought it was so It was so true to life.
I
don't know, but they do say that if you argue a lot within a relationship, you start to go on like a record. You keep going round in the same circle, the same words said to each other, the same reactions, and basically that's just hiding what's actually going on. So the little trivial fights about, you know, who put the car keys in the vase when I couldn't find them, that kind of thing. It's underneath there is something usually quite deep, and it generally means that they're just not going to get on. It's not going to work. There's nothing worse than somebody who nags. I ask for something to be done once.
Nitpicker. Yeah.
Yes. I'll ask for something to be done once, and if it's not done, then I do it myself. Then I don't believe in, you know, nagging. So, yes, it's very profound, very interesting, and I'm so sad. The poor guy standing outside.
Well, you know what? I would be standing outside with him, too.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? And what is he doing? He ended up writing poetry. You see, it's just poetry and lyrics are the way to go. Don't take it out on somebody else. Go get a pen.
And stick it in their eye.
Yeah, so. Man, that's never helped anybody. It just makes you run away. And I really, really enjoyed this poem. And we are ready for the next one. I can't wait.
Well, the next
one
is, a bit of a treat for you all.
Oh, God.
The Candles of Passion by Poetic Picasso. There's a SoundCloud, so.
Yes. Great.
So, Gray, could you possibly?
I can.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
The Candles of Passion. The sultry wax candles burn gradually, like a dripping hue of hot seduction, over the sensual mounds of a crevice, drawn from the eroticism of the flame. The sound of lyrical moans resound in the darkness of a sculptured nudity, as the wax melts into the soft skin, exuding the aroma lost in the pores. An intoxicating fragrance of oil released into the air particles and the sweet lavender substance enrapturing the erogenous delights. The flickering, unsteady flame dances in the exotic moisture, tickling edges of a steamy lover whose body is a shrine of beauty. The candles are lit of passion with their strong incantation, arousing the flash of the seductor and the sensation of ecstasy. Su cuerpo es la llama y su cera es mi beso, llenando su piel suave con mis excitados labios. Her body is the flame, and her wax is my kiss, feeling her smooth skin with my excited lips. Que calor. Ay, que calor. Olé. Olé. In the poem.
Oh, my goodness, Frank. Since Pam's not here, I have the honor. Ay, Dios mío, qué caliente.
I think about the candle tonight. The candle.
Okay, so now we're back in the we're back in the house with an intoxicating oil. Oh, my God. I tend to get stuck. I'll be honest, when I read certain stanzas of yours and, you know, and other poets too, but especially, you know, the way you read it, but it's not the way it's the way you read it and the way it you can feel it, and that's what just causes like a dripping hue of hot seduction drawn from the eroticism of the flame, the sound of lyrical moans resound. You know, you just like, you know, you're just like putty dripping in through all these little letters and stuff. And, you know, you kind of, you cause us to stop thinking. My brain doesn't work. Oh, boy. Here, let me get a hold of myself. Katie, I'm going to put you on the stove.
Well, what can I say?
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yum, yum.
You could possibly put the whole of all poetry into a trance. They would just be mystified and really, really mystified. I thought it was lovely. It sounds so easy, if you know what I mean. It just flows so beautifully. And yes, you could put me in a trance very easily. I enjoyed it so much. Well, thank you very much for sharing.
All right, appreciate that. If I could say one quick thing here really quick, while you catch your breath there, Lou. This was actually a prompt here by Bobby, so it's a bit of a shame that she's not here tonight, but I thought about this one and this front pick here, and it was inspired by, I believe, actually Victoria's, but it was also read on her show as well, Bobby's show, but it was from one of the contests of Victoria, the Black Lace Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have the picture with me, but you could imagine what the prompt was. I don't have it, unfortunately.
Oh, we don't need a picture, love.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. Laurent, now that you've had to listen to us women drool, I would love to know what you think.
Oh, my. You know, I'm an ardent heterosexual, but Frank, you sweep me off my feet, I swear to God. I don't know how you every time I think I've heard a love poem that does not resemble the last love poem that you wrote, I'm surprised, and then the next one comes along, and nope, I haven't heard those lines before, that's a new metaphor, et cetera, et cetera. And you deliver it in such a way as to imbue the words with your passion, and of course that is very contagious. So God bless you, but God damn.
Well, I appreciate that. I guess we have to blame the flickering flame for this tonight. I appreciate that.
So this is just a hint. This is a front page pick. Congratulations, Frank. But just to let you know, we have a night of beautiful, sensual poetry on Late Night Poets. It's titled The Art of Seduction. And you can catch us here at the same time and same place to get your ears to burning. So we all welcome you to come on Wednesday night. And did you write for Wednesday, Frank?
Yes, I did. I wrote a poem about the bandido.
Ooh.
The Spanish bandido.
Ooh. Ay, qué rico.
There you go.
Olé. Olé.
We'll see what Pam has to say, about it.
Oh, my God. That's going to be fun. Okay. Weaver, we are ready.
Okay. Here we have Sweet Blessings by Rain 474. And Gray, could you read this, please?
Sure.
Gray, sorry, I thought you were muted. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, no problem. All right, so this is called Sweet Blessings by Rain 474. And if it will load. Okay.
Yeah, the site's running slow on me, too.
Sweet Blessings.
And Katie, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Katie,
go ahead.
We're in the second hour, so I believe we did, Gray doesn't have a front page pick on here, I do, but I want to read everybody else's poetry first. But we just did. We just did
have
some musicals, and then
yeah,
we'll do Lawrence
do
after rain.
Yeah,
we can
do
Lawrence
yeah.
after.
I have yeah. Lawrence ready to go for the
yeah,
next
but
it's there.
Just
okay.
A quick thing, really quick.
Yeah.
Just want to say really quick. The next time, if you have so many poems, and I'll just I'll leave mine behind. You know, because I realize that a lot of the poems are a lot of poems you're not going to be able to finish tonight. So you could put priority on those if you need to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is Sweet Blessings by Rain 474. Amidst the difficulty great, your love shower was perfect, just enough to make me feel great. Like the nectar in the flower, your affinity completely covers the shadow dimming the glow there, blessing me with a lover just in the right mix forever until I bloom like a jasper. I wouldn't have known this had I not been in the party glitz witnessing your eminent wits. Yeah, after that party, something happened greatly, transforming me internally. The seed of love sown there as eye-to-eye entanglement caught fire, planting the fertilized one right there. Impregnated with the lynching love, donned with caress that moves emotions across the roofs. As the blush on my face marks your true romance, which I had always embraced. End poem.
Oh, Greg, you did such a wonderful job in reading Rain's poem. I really enjoyed hearing you. And congratulations on your front page pick. I know I'm going to repeat this, but because they do deserve accolades. And so let's get some comments. And thank you, Gray. Laurent, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the way the poet expresses themselves here. There's a couple of stanzas that really caught my eye just because of the way they were written. The seed of love sown there as eye-to-eye entanglement caught fire, planting the fertilized one right there, impregnated with lynching love, donned with caress that moves emotions across the roofs. Unusual, different, fascinating phrasing.
Agreed. Thank you. And what did you think, Bray?
Yeah, I'm with Laura. It was definitely a unique write. You know, she has her own style. And grace, capturing the beauty of love in a fine manner. So excellent, right?
Agreed. Thank you. And how about you, Frank?
Yes, I mean, I like the poem, you know, the way it just began with the notion of a love shower there. And then, of course, the imagery here with the nectar and the flower, you know. It really, really was a very poetic and romantic piece. I like the whole notion there of what it feels like to be, you know, to have the seed of love, you know, and what it represents to this person here. So I thought it was, first of all, it was great to read there. And I thought the poem was a great poem as well.
Great, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful comments. And now we're next to our next poem.
Yes, and our next poem is A Personal Evaluation by Laurent. Gray, is there sound clause, I think, is there? No, there isn't. We just checked.
No,
sorry,
but we have something
myself.
Better.
We have the actual. We got the guy. We got the
yeah,
language.
We do, with a fantastic voice.
Like Frank, I apologize for the length of this piece. I
no.
didn't realize you had so many. A personal evaluation. Robot messengers stood silent at the door. Steel endoskeleton covered in patterned synth flesh, bearing colors of House Savoy. Greetings, it rumbled. From Duke Carignano to House Roberto, I bring you squawk things. A loud metallic garble interrupted the greeting, and the poor thing ground to a halt. Mid-message. It stood silent, trembling, mouth slightly agape, a strange light filling its optic sensors. I sighed. Again. Third time this week. Stepping back from the door, I gestured the silent messenger to enter. Brutus, I bellowed. Master, came a voice at my feet. Looking down, I saw the maintenance bot had anticipated my request for his services. Fix, I said, pointing at that Savoy bot. Immediately, master. And the squat, four-wheeled, six-armed, with attachments, Robotech set to work, all manner of tools extruding from his flexible chromed manipulators. Probably the vocal neuroservers again, it ventured. Just fix the damn thing, I replied wearily, turning to the wall calm. House Savoy, I barked, out of patience. A soft chime accompanied screen activation, and the florid features of the Duke filled the screen. I'm sorry we're not at home to receive your call, came a canned response. Horse feathers and camel turds, I muttered angrily. Pick up, you mongrel degenerate, I exclaimed. Another one of your bots is here, broken down as usual. Please, leave a message at the tone, and continued, and paused, waiting for reply. A few well-chosen invectives came to mind, several of which constituted the bulk of my short, angry message. Brutus, I growled. Master, came the thin-voiced query. Throw a feedback loop into that bot's program with the words, you are an idiot. I want that in all 17 different languages as an answer for any order given it. And then send that poor hunk of metal back where it came from. Stat. Cheap bastard won't buy his own service box. Sends everything here for repair under any pretext. We are done with that, I thought, and added, Brutus, set the house calm and refusal. We're done fixing his shit. No more Mr. Nice Guy for that. Lump of sweaty suet. From now on, divert his communications to House Madame Galoris. Let her deal with that cheap corybantic crepuscular half-wit of a half-brother. Long may he whine at her heels, which incidentally he has a fetish for. I'm done funding his household affairs. Brutus wisely remained silent, save a small electronic burp of amusement, which followed me to the bedroom, where Sylvia awaited, a companion bot, newly arrived, and needing my own personal evaluation. Thank you very much. And...
Wow.
I have got to say, Laurent, I love your sense of humor. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Of course, the personal robot needed some evaluation. I hope she doesn't give you a hard time. But I got a kick out of half-wit of a half. I don't know. My cheeks hurt so much because I was trying not to laugh, so I had to, I was smiling ear to ear. Half-wit of a half-brother. Long may he whine at her bootless heels, which incidentally he has a fetish for. The satirical way that you wrote that is delicious. It is delightful. The imagery, the fighting with technology. I mean, I get frustrated. You just want to throw it against the wall and break it. I thought this was fantastic, and it does not deserve any camel turds, but a gold trophy, because you are awesome sauce, Laurent. Let's get you some commerce.
You are too good.
No, sir, Bobby Roo. You know I like it, and I like it like that. Katie.
Hello. Oh, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love humor anywhere. It just makes everything better. But I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I've worked in electronics since I was about 15 and a half. And so it fascinates me, anything like this. And I'm waiting for the first companion bot to come my way. I thought it was brilliant. I'm looking forward to it. A little bit of a tinkle here and there. Very good. I love the one. I love the. I am. I know. I am sorry we are not at home to receive your call, came the canned response. Horse feathers and camel turds, I muttered angrily. Pick up your mongrel degenerate, I explained. Another one of our boxes had broken down as usual. You know it. You know that's what's going to happen. You're going to have people at the end of a phone saying, we'll get an engineer to you as soon as we can. Oh, my goodness. Nothing changes. I thought it was absolutely marvelous, and I love your sense of humor. So thank you so much for sharing.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And what did you think, Ray?
Yeah, you know, Lauren, you could definitely write a movie or something. Yeah, the talent in your storytelling, you know, it was so deeply engaging throughout the write. You could picture every line that was written. So, beautiful job. Excellent
Thank you
read.
For listening to my not-a-poem.
Frank, what did you think?
Well, this was a... First of all, I've got to give tip my... just one moment, I'm trying to get back to the poem here. I thought the poem was fantastic. I have to agree with what has been said in particular here. Laurent has a creativity. He's very masterful at it as well. He can write anything, and in particular when he expresses humor. He does it so naturally. It's just a reaching experience when you hear him, you know, read. I think that Laurent, I need to take you with me on stage there to go turn. You might be taking my gigs away there. You really are very efficient in your voice. I mean, from you know, I can notice a voice right away, one that's very trained, such as yours. So you should think about that maybe one of these days, taking the stage and going up there and seeing if you give it a stab there. You've got a wonderful voice.
Yeah.
And command, you have a command. Command, you have a command of voice. That's another thing. Yeah. Command of voice is not as easy. And you have a command of the voice, which is admirable.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank, and thank you, Laurent. And congratulations on your front page pick. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, we have At the Summer Beach by Robert Poleski. And Frank, could you read this, please?
Yes. There's a poem called At the Summer Beach, and it's by Robert Poleski, and it goes like this. Sea is sleepy muted. Waves merely snooze, slumber in the liquid roads. Dribbling waves drench the sand, exhale the mist. Blue waves roll with their own majesty, with the mesmerizing sighing and splashing, trembling and dropping, welling as soft as a lullaby, crawl steadily to the shore, gently douse to the beach, swirl the seashells, dribble on to the feather soft sand patches, between the rocks exhale its mist, fragrance of memories dance in the wind, the moist, salty breeze, the beach air, freshener, caresses my face. End of poem.
Oh, Frank, you did such a wonderful job in reading Robert's poem. Let's
Thank
get
you.
Some comments. What did you think of this poem, Laurent?
Well, she's captured, has captured the movement of a wave perfectly. I can't tell you how many summers I've spent at seashores, many of them just sitting and watching the waves, kind of mesmerized by the way they come in and roll out. And the ones that are further out are larger, white caps. And then as they come in, based on the seabed, many of them just diminish and will just dribble onto the feather soft sand patches between the rocks. He did a great job of it.
Agreed. Thank you. Fantastic comment. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes. It was, you could hear that the waves, couldn't you? I thought it was lovely. Anything to do with water is just beautiful. It makes you feel tranquil. And I thought this was just beautifully written. You know, they always say if you find a seashell and put it against your ear, you'll hear the sea. I don't quite get that because the sea is there. You're going to be hearing it anyway. Why would you want to stick a thing against your ear to hear it? It's the daftest thing I've ever heard. But anyway, I thought it was lovely. It just... it just brought to mind how much fun you can have. Fragrance of memories dance in the wind, the moist, salty breeze, the beach air freshener caresses my face. That was just beautifully written, and thank you so much for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Robert, on something thick. And let's get one more comment, Gray Eye. Gray?
Sorry, I was halfway through my comment. But no, it was delightful, right, about being carried away by an air freshener, you know, to picture all this in your head as you get carried into the scent of this beach air freshener. And I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you, Gray. And again, congratulations, Robert. And back to you, Weaver.
Okay. We have Mirror of Heaven by Nikki Poetry. And Leah, would you like to read this, please?
Yes, it'd be my pleasure. Mirror of Heaven by Nikki P's Poetry. Tall pines tower over emerald green water. Algae grows thicker than grass, reflection like glass. Woods the color of juniper, evergreens, sunshine cascades through the trees, water luminescent, jewel-toned like sea foam, green satin. Oh my goodness, that is just beautiful. That's a beautiful poem, and congratulations on your front page pick, Nikki. And what did you think about this poem, Frank?
Well, you know, this was a fantastic read there. You know, it's not very lengthy, it's a brevity, but it really does, you know, I often believe that sometimes we seek this ethereal feeling of a heaven, you know, and we seek it within, you know, beyond our limits and beyond our own world. Sometimes I often believe that heaven itself, you know, what it can exist and what we can understand of it, is really here on earth, you know, the things, the beauty around us, are the heaven that we forsake to some notion, but once we're conscious about it and we're aware of it, then you enjoy it. And, you know, when you talk about the tall pines and the emerald green and just the evergreens, it's beautiful. It reminds me of Colorado. I don't know how many of you have been over there, but I've been there, and it's a beautiful scene. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a fantastic book.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Laurent, what did you think?
I agree with Frank entirely. The tall pines tower offer a wonderful visual, but I was struck by how much green is in this poem. You have emerald green, algae, which is green, juniper evergreens, green, seafoam, green satin, and the poem is called Mirror of Heaven, and I have to think that, yes, the Mirror of Heaven might very well be green, the green of nature.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, you know. You did such, you know, she did such a beautiful job in describing a pond. You know, she says this is about a pond in water, trees, and greenery. And, you know, that is an excellent point, Laurent. You know, I love, you know, to me, it wasn't just so much that she colored my mind, especially with that last jewel tone, like sea foam green satin, is that she took me into this mirror visionary that I could see in my mind and even see the, you know, the algae growing in the pond. And, but what it also did was it made me think of the fresh air of the pine trees and being around this beautiful water area. And I thought that she did a beautiful job in describing this. Congratulations, Nikki. So now we are ready for our next song.
And next we have Tyrian Tempura Rattles, Tumbleweed Whispers by Intimidus Rex. And I think there's a sound cloud. Gray, if you could.
Yeah, okay.
Like a saguaro, she monitored the cool rise of heat's waving bluster. Mojave's orange marzipan sunset firing silicas, glowworm blush. In a streamed kaleidoscope of peyote-colored reservoirs blanching this mooned valley trod pond. An ancient boneyard matriculating its dusky compote in Tyrian tempura rattles, snaking crossed this armoire of earthen vascular thrums. Frazzle dripping our minds in Tuscan sodium and medfly bourbon tomahawks, illuming twilight's tonsil groan. Out here, there are no Pavlov plasticity veils squandering a lost calathus. Out here, on the periphery, we are rocking in tumbleweed whispers and those roaring notes sung in the sound of silent questions, answered, communing with fauna's splendifery and flora's prickly vein of third eye eroticism.
My goodness. I have got to say, I love this poem and the music from our very own Sexy Rexy. We got some of the most talented and wonderful vocals, I would say, on the planet. Let's get him, and congratulations, Rexy, on your front page pick. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Yes, I agree. His voice is just perfect. I love that softness. It's really lovely. And I thought this was beautifully written. I mean, you have all of it here, don't you? And an ancient boneyard circulating its dusky compote in Tyrian tempura, rattles snaking across this armoire of earthen vascular thrums. Now, isn't that a word to conjure with? Thrums. I like it. I can do that because I'm Scottish. Thrums. we have lots of that going on. Yeah. So, yes, I thought it was...
Go ahead.
I thought you wanted to say something. Do you want to say something, Anne?
No. I'm enjoying your comment.
More than I am, because I panic like blazes when I've got to talk. I'm okay when I'm reading, but when I've actually got to voice something. So please bear with me. I get a bit nervous. But yes, I thought it was absolutely wonderful, as you'd expect it to be, but just so beautifully read. And thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Tucson, Arizona. The landscape is just so much variety and so much beauty. He left me breathless when he started saying, like a saguario, she monitored the cool rise of heat, wavering bluster. He puts you already in that moment. I could just see this woman tall and standing with her branched, you know, the cactus arms out with the beautiful florals on top and the birds that burrow inside of it. The Mojave, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's this beautiful orange color. You really can't really ever see anybody. We try to copy nature, but she has her own beauty that she keeps to herself. The Mojave's orange marzipan sunset, firing silica's glowworm blush. I just found each stanza just beautiful, descriptive, and he just took me there. Thank you, Katie. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, he takes us beyond our senses to a different reality. Mm-hmm. He fascinates with words. I had looked at the stanza that Katie quoted, but I'm equally impressed by the entire piece. His ability to make reference to very abstruse yet absolutely logical facts, words, phrases is really quite remarkable. a Tyrian tempura? Really? Among other things. But this is a wonderful trip into the desert of the Mojave, I think, experiencing the psychedelia of things, so to speak. Really, he's a master of language, a tough act to follow.
Yeah, I was, while I was listening to you, you did a fantastic comment where he's answering Pee-wee. But Pee-wee was, you know, he had made a comment that Pavlov's specificity bells, I like that one, first of your work I have seen. Good stuff. Not what I would have expected, but how does one expect anything, really? And then Rixey responded to him, thank you, Pee-wee. I keep telling everyone that I'm the alien in the room. And he puts up this alien face. You guys, it's humor. I just love it. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I liked his read, and his write was definitely metaphorically rich, steeped in powerful metaphor, and it was definitely a dreamy mindscape that he took you on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, I've never been to, I passed by New Mexico. I've been to somewhat, seen somewhat to Arizona, but he took me on a level of Arizona, and in particular, the visuals, the imagery is stunning in this poem here. The way the music was great as well. The read was great as well. He just took you on that, you know, perhaps a metaphysical journey there, but he did take you on to, with his imagery, just to, you know, just to imagine this, you know, and there was a bit of sensuality to this poem, of course. I thought it was fantastically written, above all. I am impressed by his writing, the way he sticks in metaphors, and he's able to just use them to describe, you know, imagery. So I think he did a fantastic job.
Agreed. Thank you, everyone. And again, congratulations, Rexy. And we are ready for the next poem, Katie.
Right, the next poem is Time Machine by Daniel DeCiro. And Laurent, could you read this, please?
Do we have a SoundCloud on him?
I'll have a look.
No. It's the other poet. My mistake.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Katie.
That's okay. No problem.
All right. This is called Time Machine. Daniel DeCiro. Sometimes I stop. And I am spectator and entertainment. Sometimes I walk in a meditative state, not even sure how I do it anymore. My legs just move. Sometimes I drive and the world is a blur. A splash aftermath in a lake from a jumping fish. Part of a movie I missed when checking my cell phone. A car is a time machine. But what is? And I am a prospective scribe. End poem.
You always read fantastically. Thank you so much, Laurent. And I want to thank Daniel for this excellent poem. I call it sometimes our car. You know, I guess you could say it is a time machine because it allows us to travel through different states, different times, different hours, different places. And I don't know, it's sometimes what I call, you go in automatic mode, which the police officer, which said that you shouldn't do, it says that if you drive the same way all the time, you get locked into a mode where you just go into like a trance and you just go where you need to go. And then you realize, oh my God, how did I get here? You know, and he says to prevent that, he says to take different ways home so that your mind does not get fixated on the same monotonous route. And, you know, I could feel this. This is so well written. You could feel yourself as if you're in the car going along with him for this ride. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, I've been there myself as well. It's quite scary, especially when you walk and you're thinking deeply and you're not aware that you're on autopilot. So, I mean, anything could happen to you in that particular state, but suddenly you get to your destination and you think, oh, I've got here, right? When did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
It is just the oddest feeling to do that. And I don't do it when I'm driving because I used to drive a motorbike. Not a good idea to go into autopilot with one of those things.
Not on a motorbike.
No, definitely not. But yes, I could understand that totally. And I thought it was so well put and so well written. And so thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent? Daniel's phone?
The introduction of the car at the end threw me a little initially because he doesn't at all introduce it. He walks in a meditative state. The legs just move.
Mm.
And what happens when he gets in a car? The world is a blur. And I guess it's the same as walking without thinking about it. The world is a blur. You're missing it all, regardless of how you do it. Nicely done.
Thank you, Lauren. Excellent comment. How about you, Gray?
Yeah, you did a wonderful job reading it, Lauren. But I liked it. You know, it really put into perspective what a car does. You know, it really takes you into time and to another place. So I thought it was an excellent write.
Agreed. And you, Frank?
Yes, I was just writing what I was thinking right here. I thought the poem was, first of all, was an oddity of the mind here. But it did, you know, I do get into that trance. First of all, I don't like driving much. I do miss Europe in that aspect of taking trains. You know, I used to take trains all the time in Europe. Here I have to be the commoner here and take what you call the car, the vehicle. But, you know, I do get into the state of mind, but quickly I get out of it when I reach a petrol station and I realize how much the freaking gas has gone up. So that's when a car doesn't remain a time machine anymore. It hits me with reality there.
Yeah, I was just reading your comment in the group. He says, I'm like that until I reach the petrol station. It really wakes me up with the price. Yeah, I think that's for everybody. Everything, God, everything, just everything.
Yeah.
You don't even want to go out the front door because right away you start feeling that hole in your purse pocket. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Katie, we're ready for, and I can't wait to see what else we got.
Well, we have Along the Shore of a Stream by Swan Song, and I will read this one because I'm being a good girl and not being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But my voice doesn't go along the shore. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Right, I'm not very sure about that first line, but I'll just read it as I think it should be read. I sit alone along the shore of a stream in late summer when the water is low in the afternoon. When traces of gold dance lightly upon the slow currents and the water skippers glide easily from one bank to the next. When even the wind blows so soft you cannot hear it whisper and toss a small stone, watch it skip two or three times to the other side. Where a large alder leans and casts shade across the slow water, a few skippers with orange wings whirl through the warm air in their final moments of life. When I sit still long enough, the shadowed bodies of minnows linger slow, then scintillates off when a pine needle lands and is taken by the current. They slowly return, little tails wavering in the clear water. A soft wind wisps across, still pools close to the shore, and just when the sun's glare becomes not hot, a small cloud shades the harsh rays just enough to let striders dance in slow shallows. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. You did such a beautiful read of Swan Song's poem. He just pulls you into the scenery of nature, and you're just so enamored with his descriptions and the sight and the sense of everything, you know, that you're reading. It's just so beautiful, like just right here, you could literally read each line of each stanza. A soft wind whispers across soft pools close to the shore. And just when the sun glares, becomes hot, a small cloud shades the harsh rays just enough to let striders dance in the slow shadows. You know, that just kind of reminds me when I go biking. You know what? Clouds are a blessing. Otherwise, the sun glares and just sunburns you if you're not covered up. That's why you see so many people with caps on, full sunglasses, face mask, you know, gloves, and you're on that bike hitting those, driving by cool pools of lakes and rivers and streams, and you just could get lost in there. And that's what I found. I get lost in his nature poems. What did you think, Laurent?
I thought he painted a picture detail by detail in a way that really grabbed me. Taking me to the shores of that stream is really well done, convincingly well written.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I thought it had beautiful and engaging imagery. You know, you could feel all this as you read it, and you could hear the wind as it wisps across still pools close to the shore, and then just when the sun glares, become hot, a small cloud shades the harsh rays just enough to let the striders dance in slow shadows. Just a beautiful painted here.
Agreed. Thank you, Greg. Lovely comment. And how about you, Frank?
Well, you know, this is a beautiful poem. I'm starting to get accustomed here to his poetry more, with each poem that he sends to the shows. I just think the whole visual of this poem, the imagery is striking here, you know, the way you can describe what he's describing here is breathless here. You know, I like the whole notion of what you were saying about nature inspires one, how it motivates you. You know, it seems like a kaleidoscope of imagery in this poem that really I could grasp. I'm a nature lover. I love nature and I love what it all represents, whether it's a cascade, whether it's a flower, a tree or an animal. It's just a beautiful essence, you know, that's being inspired and expelled in this poem here. So I thought it was a fantastic poem and a fantastic read as well.
Agreed. And Katie, I know you read it. What did you think of Swan Song's poem?
I thought it was beautiful. It just captured everything. And I have to apologize, Swan Song, for not quite getting the cadence correctly at the beginning. You sometimes have to get into the poetry before you catch that particular aspect of it. So I apologize. It was a bit stilted, but I thought it was beautiful. And I love skimming stones. I love skimming stones. It's got to be the most fun in the world, competing with each other to see who gets the furthest. I thought it was wonderful and so atmospheric and just beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing.
Agreed. Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem. Okay.
Flower power is up.
Yeah. Katie, did we lose you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I was on mute. That's the first time I've done it. What a winkle.
A winkle in time.
Exactly. Ah, wonderful.
That's a twinkle,
I was being so poetic and saying how wonderful you're going to be, how much you're going to enjoy this poem. Anyway, here it is. And I wonder if Gray could read it, please.
Sure, you bet. Flower Power by Ethan Machiba. First days of the summer. London, 1969. Like birds, we gathered in Trafalgar Square, started marching to Hyde Park at the Speaker's Corner. We chanted out loud, "No war, no war, no war. Freedom and peace for all." Stood holding hands, the white, the black, the brown, hippies, socialists, believers. We smiled at each other, strangers, but in love.
The music echoed in the air. Those were the days of the Beatles, Mary Hopkins, The Doors, Morrison, Lennon, Both Died in Vain, Shame, Blow Up, 8½, Stolen Kisses, and Hair Bergman, Antonioni, Bellini, A. Francois Truffaut, I Am, Only Being Nostalgic, C'est la fin de ma chanson, and Poem.
Oh, you nailed that, Greg. I'm actually delightfully surprised. I was like, ew. Fantastic read, Gray. Oh, my. Ooh, la, la. I'm surprised. And I really, I'm looking at, she's one of my favorite poets, Asama Chiba, and she always brings it to the table. You know, she was talking about that this song was produced by Paul McCartney, who became a number one hit on the UK hit singles, and it reached number two on the Billboard here. And everybody, you know, that she talks about Hey Jude, but this song here, Those were the days, my friend, I thought they never end. That is a fantastic poem. Fantastic. Wow, girl, you surprised me. Fantastic read. And I love this poem by Asama Chiba. So what did you think, Katie?
Oh, that took me back. Back to the good old days, the summer of London, 1969. Wowza. Yes, everything about that particular time is written here. It's all there for you to see. It was an amazing, there was just this amazing, even in Scotland, where we're like back in the 1950s still, in Scotland it was, everybody was into Mary Quant and, oh, just wonderful. So that really, it really made me think. It made me think about all the good fun and all the good times, and it was beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing, and I love John Lennon so much.
Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent?
Well, like Katie, it kind of takes me back all the important names, all the things that happened back then. And, you know, if you're going to present an image in order to generate something special, you search for that perfect metaphor. And the lines, like birds, we gathered in Trafalgar Square. And I instantly saw in my mind a flock of birds gathering, and then kind of transposed that onto a mental image of a crowd scene. And it's the perfect metaphor. You got to admire writing like that.
Mm-hmm. And if you hear a little bell, it's my cat trying to sit on my keyboard. Sorry about that. Tammy, what did you think? What did you think, Gray?
I liked it. I liked it. You know, it really took you back in time to a place and a feeling, really, you know, that was expressed through rebellion and love, you know, and shouting, no war, no war, no war. I mean, what a place to be and what a time to be alive in. Powerful poem.
Agreed. And how about you, Frank? Thank you,
Greg.
Yeah,
I'll be very brief. I was going to interject really quickly. I don't know if anybody's been to Hyde Park. I've been to Hyde Park, and it still remains contentious there, where people just speak out their minds there. You know, they rant on about different, you know, opinions. But it's still remarkable, even after, you know, all these years, since 1969 and beyond, and before that, that they still gather in Hyde Park there, and they call it Speaker's Corner. And they still do the same thing. Yeah, they still do the same thing. They still, you know, you get out there and they speak their mind.
Mm-hmm. And what were you going to say? I heard Laurent in the back. Thank you,
yeah,
Frank.
I was being rude. I apologize. I said it sounds like Twitter.
Yeah, so true. Thank you, everybody. And congratulations on your front page pick, Asama. Oh, yeah. And Titus from Great Britain is on. Hey, Titus. I miss you, guy. You handsome man, you. Hyde Park has not changed. Bravo, Frank. Happy to see you, Titus. Okay, we're ready for our next front page pick.
Right, next we have before
and
you.
And Katie, I wanted to thank you for being so fabulous. I wanted to thank you for being so fabulous.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I love it.
Me
thank
too,
you.
Katie.
You're so kind.
Been extraordinary. Oh, very time. I have to claw tip my hat off for you. And
thank you.
And such late hour as well.
Yes, it's nearly 5 o'clock. Oh, I love it. I'm awake anyway, so it makes no difference to you. But thank you for your kind comments. Right, the next one we have is Before Youth by Zeus. Zeus. Gray Eyes, my dear, would you read this?
Sure. This is called Before Youth by Zeus. A 10-year-old girl hiding somewhere makes haunting sounds to frighten a 10-year-old boy, but he is calmly sitting near a grave as if he knows there's nothing to fear. Then he calls to the girl. It's no use trying to frighten me, as we both, as you already know, have died some hours ago. We are buried in this graveyard, and now our ghosts. Can a ghost even frighten another ghost? So simply stop making those annoying noises. She comes out and speaks to him. I wanted to drive you away from your grave with haunting sounds, but, well, you can't move away from your grave for a while. I want to enter your coffin, and I want to see something. Listening to it, he gets angry, shouts at her. Don't you fear God? Committing a sin after death is unforgivable. End poem.
Oh, wow. So he says that he likes writing plots and twists, and he so well did this. You know, he says that this has to do with afterlife and lust in a graveyard. And, you know, kids at this age are, you know, just curious. You know, and I thought that he caught that so well, the personality of a female ghost talking to, you know, this other ghost and, you know, telling her, you know, basically, you know, you got to draw a line somewhere. Excuse me, my allergy. And I thought that he did. This is fantastic storytelling. So what did you think about this poem, Katie? Good read, Greg.
Yes, good read.
Thank you.
Lovely. I thought it was very, very clever. I was listening to Greg, and I'm thinking, oh, 10-year-old girl in a graveyard, boy in a graveyard, what on earth are they doing out at that time of night? And then we got to the frightening noises, and I thought, yeah, that would be what you'd do. And then we found out they're dead. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. Wow. So, yes, I thought it was so clever. You know, basically, he's saying, stop mucking about because God doesn't like it when you don't behave after you've died. I thought that was just very, very clever and amusing and beautifully written. So thank you so much for sharing.
And what did you think, Laurent?
Well, the children are dead. So one assumes that almost anything that they do is not going to surprise us. Yet,
no.
I wonder if the poet didn't structure the last lines in such a way as to demonstrate the futility of a belief system that equates simple curiosity with a sin. It's a deep poem for all that it is. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Me too. Thank you, Laurent. How about you, Frank?
Well, I'll be very brief. I thought it was a fantastic poem, and I don't know if the ghost is going to spook me. So I have a ghost in my tummy right now who's growling. It was great, though.
It's lust, Frank. It's lust.
No, it's hunger, my friend. It's hunger, my friend. I'm thinking of a croissant now.
Lusting after croissant.
I'm going to have a croissant with some Irish butter and some organic ham and enjoy thinking about all the fun I had tonight with your fabulous front page poetry. I really loved everybody that called in today and read and that hung out in the group. So I want to thank Fill My Eyes for all the work that she does, and Katie and Frank, and Gray Eyes and Laurent and Pee Wee and Titus, who just showed up. And I love you guys. We got 10 seconds. Besotes a todos. Big kisses to everyone.
Buenas noches. Besotes a todos. Buenas noches.
Good night, everybody. Jump on in. Thank
night,
you.
Bye, baby.
Much love.
Good night. Thank you.
Toodle pip.